Good morning and greetings in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. It's a blessing to be with you. I've only been in this church building once, I think, and that's when Brother David had revivals here. I think maybe had a devotional. And lest I forget, Brother David gives his greetings. And I think he was a little jealous when he found out that we're going to be here this morning because he has learned to really appreciate you as a congregation. And that is usually the case for every minister that holds a week of meetings. In a congregation, you get to know the people, you get to hear about their struggles, you get to hear about their victories. And there's different times in our prayer meeting. Wednesday nights, we do things maybe a little different than what you do. We all pray at one time. And Brother David is usually right beside me, either on the right or the left, and there's times he mentions your congregation as he's praying. So I want you to know that he didn't forget about you. He still loves you and cares for you. Also, I'd love to go with you next Sunday to the Bowery. I love going there. Been there numerous times. James Macklin, I don't know if that's who you have contact with when you arrange. Black brother from the Bowery, know very well. And love to hear his testimony, what God has done in his heart. And I also sensed as I heard that you're involved in maybe different things, maybe Bible translation. I picked that up. I am really blessed by that. And I'm also blessed I have a word for you as youth. You're sitting at the right spot. I get into many different churches and I'm always blessed when I see the young people sitting up front. I don't know if that's a decision that you have decided as young people or if you're sitting here because this is expected where you're to sit, but I want you to know that you're sitting at the right spot. God is concerned about you. You might look at me as an old man, but I'm still young at heart, and I love young people. Also, I was blessed by the Sunday school lesson. I usually don't do all this. Usually I get right into my text and go with the message, but I just felt led to even share a little bit about Sunday school, if I may. It has to do with interpersonal relationships. It's a burden of mine as I meet people, hear people talk. Getting along with one another is a struggle the church over. And yet God has designed it in a marvelous way that the church is to be unified and that there is to be a love relationship among brotherhood. And I feel that we are letting God down in many ways of not being the brother or the sister that God would want us to be. And because of that, we're experiencing a lot of the casualties and things that are taking place in our churches. And it's not only affecting us adults, but we have young people that are getting discouraged because us older adults don't know how to act and respond in a loving way. You ponder that. I don't know why God had me share that this morning, but God, may you treasure what you have and protect it. Be willing to be spent for the sake of unity in your church and your congregation. The Bible makes it very clear that the world is watching and is looking. And how, I think the one verse is that they will see about how you love each other. They're looking. They're watching. I told the place that I work when there's a new employee starting. I'm not the owner or the manager of the business, but I often tell the employee, you know, we're going to get along good as long as you do what I think you should do. That's our thinking. I do it jokingly. Then I tell them, no, we're going to get along fine. But that's often our mentality is we'll get along fine as long as you do what I think you should do. And we have that mentality too much in our congregation. So just a few thoughts before I get into the message here that God has laid on my heart. I'd like to talk about a piece of furniture in your house. I'm pretty sure that most of your homes have this piece of furniture in it. You're probably wondering, am I going to talk about something in the living room? Am I going to talk about something in the kitchen, in the bedroom? What type of furniture, what piece of furniture am I talking about? The title of the message, and it might seem a little different, the title is The Kitchen Table. Probably most of you have a table in your kitchen, right? Do you use it? Do you sit around that table as a family? Is it a place that is considered the gathering place of your home? The kitchen table. Not all countries have a kitchen and a table like we are used to. Some countries have a mat that they would sit on, and the food would actually be placed in between them. They would lean forward and get their food and eat with chopsticks. You know, the way that we eat, the way that we sit around the kitchen table, not all nations do it exactly the way that we do it. But as you study different cultures, there's some cultures that actually spend more time around a meal than what we do as Americans in the United States of America. They look at the evening meal as a time of coming together to eat and to be able to fellowship together, one with another as a family. And even if they have visitors, they'll sit and sit and sit and talk about the things that are happening in their lives. It develops a relationship, a friendship, whether it's family sitting around on that mat or there's visitors that are involved in their home at that time. I'm told that in USA, there is more meals eaten in minivans than there is around the kitchen table. And we sometimes look at that and say, well, that is the world. But I want you to ponder, if you were to add in 1 week's time how much you sit around your kitchen table, would it be 1 hour total? How long are your meals? Not all of us are able to have jobs at home, so we carry a lunch bucket to work. So we're not necessarily at home eating with our family. Maybe we had to leave early that morning. Maybe we were not able to have breakfast with the family. But the evening time of coming together as a family, and you take those minutes or those half hour or an hour or the times that you're around the table and you add that together, how much time really are you spending around the kitchen table? The table is a gathering place for family and friends. I had a friend share with me that has similar background to some of you of growing up in homes where there was no electricity. He often said the gathering place was at the kitchen table because that's the only place there was a lantern. Everything took place around the kitchen table. It was a testimony of his home that he grew up in. He said, when you were reading, you sat around the kitchen table. You ate around the kitchen table. It wasn't anything unusual for mother to be sitting there knitting, and some of the other brothers and sisters sitting around the table with a book. They were reading. They were spending time together. There was times that evenings they were not pushed or pressured to go here and to go there. And he said he misses some of those times, or he misses those times that they had as a family, and wishes, even though because of the spirituality that he had a desire to walk with the Lord closer. And as he shared, he said, I wish sometimes I could take my family back into maybe not the lantern age or the lantern, having the lantern as the gathering place, but he said, we are so busy as a family going here and there that we quickly eat, and then we all kind of go our separate ways. The youth go their way. And he said, I just treasure sometimes as a father that I could sit around my kitchen table more and have my children there, my young people, and as a family. Maybe you're not faced with that. I live in Lebanon County. Some of your roots are back in Lancaster County. I don't know, maybe your county up here, you're not faced with the busy lifestyle that many of us are faced with in Lebanon, Lancaster County. Maybe you're more Maybe you're around the kitchen table a lot more than maybe what we are. But I have I believe a little bit that sometimes some of us with backgrounds in Lebanon and Lancaster County, we kind of take Lebanon and Lancaster County with us wherever we go, and we keep busy and occupied. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be busy in the Lord's work or providing a living for our place, for our family, or providing a home. I have a few friends that are from Kenya, and one of them was over in Baltimore doing some schooling, and they invited me down for the graduation of this young man. And I spent the evening there in the area, and the next day they were having a noon meal as a meal of celebration for his graduation. He had spent, I think, 3 years there, two to three years. And I had told him that I would stay for the meal, but I needed to be home by a certain time. And they said that is fine. So we sat down to eat. We sat around a table. They didn't have the food right on the table, but they would bring one dish, and we would eat that. And after a while, I thought that I think things are just about winding up here, because I was watching the clock, and I didn't want to be disrespectful and leave without finishing the meal with them. And as I was sitting there, I began to realize that we're just at the beginning of this meal. And the clock was moving, and they were discussing and sharing. And finally, I just resigned my heart and said, I'm going to stay here with them until this meal is over. And we got to know each other. They asked questions about me. I asked questions about them. They were in no hurry whatsoever. They were treasuring their time together. And yes, it's centered around food, but not dishes that maybe we are used to. Their focus was not on the food. They would nibble it or get a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I didn't see them just pouring the food on their plates. But they were talking. And it spoke to me, and I said, what is our meal time like? Some of these cultures, that's their gathering place. We had a Haitian meal one time in New York City. Similar. We sat around that table. They gave their best. They didn't even sit down. They served us and treated us with great respect and honor. Now, those of you that are older, I want you to think back to the time when you were a little boy or a little girl in your home where you grew up. Do you have pleasant memories about being around the kitchen table, or do you have memories that are not pleasant? If you were to tell me what it was like when you were little around the kitchen table, I would be able to tell you what type of home you came from, of what took place around your kitchen table. Today, you have your own home. You have your own responsibilities. You're no longer a little boy or a little girl anymore. You have your own home. But if you would tell me what goes on around your kitchen table, I will tell you what type of home you have. The kitchen table is a telltale sign of what your home is like. I have many pleasant memories of my home, times when there was only three of us children and we're all 5 years apart. So my brother's the oldest. There's 10 years between us. So we were not necessarily always real close in everything, because his interests were different than mine. But I remember the times that we just sat and talked. Anything that happened through the day, happened at the job. I also remember going to my grandpa's place. My grandfather was a deacon in a Mennonite church, Weaverland Conference. And I remember sitting around the table with my aunts and uncles, and I thought it took forever when I was a little boy. I thought it took forever for them to ever get done eating. And we would all sit down around the table, and my grandfather did not pray out loud, but we knew that when it was time to pray, he would just sit there and get quiet. And then he would bow his head and we would all pray. But there's another thing. After the amen, we would sit around that table. We as children knew that there was no leaving that table until Grandpa said it's time to return thanks. We sat there for a long time. Us little boys, us cousins, we were ready to go play. We were ready to do something, but we all knew that we do not leave this table until Grandpa gets quiet again and everyone quiets and then he bows his head for returning of thanks. Only then we knew that we were allowed to go. I have memories of our little girls. They're not little anymore. But I remember we have four daughters. The oldest two are married. The other two are with my wife and I today. But I sometimes wish that I could push the reverse button and go back to when the four little girls used to sit around our table as little girls. And I have many pleasant memories of that. Where when we would talk about the happenings of the day, the things that took place. Some of the things were amusing. Some of the things had many happy. I hope my daughters are able to look back at mealtime as something of happy times. And we'll get to some of this a little later, because the mealtime is to be a happy time. Fathers, and I'll mention this now, it's not a time for correction. It's not a time to straighten the family out. It's to be a mealtime. Sisters, it's not a time for you to tell your husband what all's wrong with him at the mealtime. I want you to ponder about the kitchen table. What takes place around your kitchen table? What do you talk about? Or do you quickly eat and off you go to your own rooms or to your own place? Because of our modern conveniences, we have electricity in all our rooms. After mealtime, our children can go to wherever they want and continue to read or whatever, because there's a light there. I'm focusing on the kitchen table this morning. We're going to look at a couple. You're probably wondering, how do you get out of the Bible about the kitchen table? And I don't have a verse that I'm going to be able to take you to and say, okay, this has to do with the kitchen table. But I do want to share with you that they did have three meals a day. The first one is John chapter 21. John chapter 21, verse 9. Peter had been fishing all night, and Jesus told him to cast their net on the other side, and they did, and the nets were full of fish. But it's interesting what happened when they came to shore. He had been fishing all night, and Jesus had prepared a meal. I guess you could call it breakfast. He prepared them breakfast. John 21, verse 9, and as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Fish for breakfast. How many of you had fish for breakfast lately? I don't know if it was their custom to have fish for breakfast or not, but that's what they had been toiling all night to catch, was this fish. And God filled their nets because of the obedience of putting it on the correct side that Jesus told them to put it on. Actually, it says the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the abundance of fish. But where did those fish come from that Jesus already had cooking? It doesn't say they came to shore and gave Jesus some fish. Jesus was able to provide the fish himself. I don't know how he did it. Scripture doesn't tell us. I don't know if those fish just came swimming to the shore and he got them, or if they're already scaled and everything. I don't know. Scripture doesn't tell us that. But he was able to provide the fish for them. It was breakfast time. They also had what they call a noon meal. John chapter 4. Let's look at John chapter 4, verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, which was noontime for them. And Jesus had been talking to this woman, and then his disciples decided to to go and to get food for Jesus. Actually, I think that was before he actually started talking to the woman. But as they came back, here was Jesus. They had come with food. And we see that in verse... I'm actually in the wrong portion here. Just bear with me. Verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Now go to verse 31. And in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, they had come back. Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat thereof that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And he goes on to talking about one sowing and another reaping. Jesus was a human being just like you and I. He got hungry. And the disciples said that they're going to go and find some food in the neighboring town and bring this food back to Jesus. And when they came back, here he was talking to this woman at the well. And they asked him and told him, Master, eat. And he said, I'm not even hungry, because I have meat that to eat of that ye know not of. And they thought, well, somebody else must have brought him some food. But Jesus had a burden for the soul of this woman, that the food was not the focal point. Around your kitchen table, what is the focal point? Yes, we're there to eat, to nourish our bodies. But is that the focal point? If it's the focal point, you're going to eat very quickly as a family, and everyone goes their own way. But if it's more than just a place to eat, you're going to be spending time with your family. You're going to be spending time, and you're going to take this time to be able to eat your meal together and develop a relationship with your children and with your family. And when you have visitors, you'll be able to sit around the table with your visitors, and it's going to be a special time. And Jesus had some meat. This was a midday was a midday meal. Then let's go to Luke chapter 24 and look that they also had an evening meal. So their custom in the Bible in the Middle East there during Jesus' time is very similar to our custom of having 3 meals a day. But the evening was the chief meal of the day. It was the time that they spent the most time together. Luke 24, verse 29. Jesus had been walking with those two men on the road of Emmaus, and they didn't realize that it was Jesus. And when they got to a place where they were going to turn in for the night, they invited Jesus to stop and eat a meal. When was the last time that you invited somebody on the spur of the moment? Oh yeah, we invite each other from home for lunch on Sunday, or hospitality. We do that. But when was the last time that you were in town, or in an area that you realize that here are some people that are not local that need a place maybe to eat some supper? Did you take time out and say, well, come, sit around our table and be able to share with them the things about the Lord Jesus, being able to open your home, the evening meal? They treasured their evening meal. They treasured their supper. But in Luke 24, verse 29, But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. It was nothing unusual, because of their means of travel, that they would bring visitors into their home. Today, we are just, with our vehicles, we're just back and forth and hither and yon, and we don't even see those that are maybe needing a place to eat and a place to call home or to spend the night. In verse 30 it says, And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were open and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Jesus was invited to that meal. When we are in opening our homes to others that are less fortunate than what we are, we're actually inviting Jesus to our table, because he is concerned. about the needs of others. We could also spend some time looking at what they ate on. Some of them had tables. We could look at 1 Kings 13:20, where it talks about the tables. Jesus, when he ate the Last Supper with his disciples, sat at a table. The Bible even refers to a table in 1 Corinthians, so they sat around tables, and we're all familiar with that. Also, it talks about that they ate around couches. And Amos chapter 6, verse 4 talks about sitting on a couch. Now, we don't think of sitting on a couch to eat, but it was a sign of prestige. They were able to sit there and to relax and to recline and be able to eat from couches. What did they eat? Jesus taught in Luke 10:18 that they were supposed to eat whatever is set before them. So whatever is set before you, eat it. Brethren, whatever is set before you, eat it. Maybe it might not always. We have this thing as our girls were getting older and learning to cook, and they would make different meals, and the two daughters that we have at home, they tried different things, and one of the things they'll ask as we're eating, well, what do you think, Dad? And they'll, sometimes I won't say a whole lot, and they'll say, is this a once a month thing or once a year thing or once every 5 years? And, you know, they expect honesty. And most times I love the meals that are made. But it's not the time, and we'll get to that a little later. It's not the time to complain about the food and everything that's set before you. We think sometimes that has to do when we're traveling in another country, that we're supposed to accept it with gratefulness of heart and to eat what is ever set before us. I was traveling in Mexico with another brother, and we stopped at this little restaurant, and I ordered a tortilla with meat in it. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4:4, it says every creature of God is good. And I was eating this tortilla and really enjoying it. And we looked out the window, and here was a goat looking in at us. And some countries look at goat meat as very delicacy. And the brother that was with me, he was eating what was in his tortilla. And soon he looks at me and he says, you know what? I think we're eating his buddy. And you know, that tortilla wasn't maybe quite as good as what it was before. But I had to receive it with thanksgiving in my heart. It was okay. If you travel to Jamaica, goat meat is one of their main meats. And I don't know, maybe you eat a lot of goat meat. Goat meat is good if it's prepared properly. I'd like to speak first of all to you as fathers. You teach a lot around your kitchen table. Your family is able to tell very quickly what type of mood Dad is in. When he sits down at the table, and yes, you gathered the family together, and you're ready to eat, and even before you pray, your family already knows if Dad's in a good mood or a bad mood. They're very quickly and able to tell if Dad had a good day or a bad day at work. You set the stage when you get to your kitchen table what type of meal you're going to have that day. You set that stage. Maybe sometime, instead of coming to the table, maybe you had a frustrating day, you first of all need to go spend a little time with God and work through your emotions and your feelings before you come and sit at that table. You set the tone for that meal. There's times I've already come home and had a stressful day, and I sit down at the table, we have prayer, and all my wife sees is me sitting there eating. Not a word even coming out of my mouth. I set the tone. We have a silent meal because I don't want to talk. What am I telling my family when that happens? They're not important. They're not important. Another thing that I think we need to, as fathers, we need to make it of importance. And it would be very nice if we could be there three times for every three meals. But sometimes our jobs don't allow that. But make supper time a meal that you're there. A meal that you're there. I think it's. I didn't see this maybe in my early married life. I was a truck driver and was gone a lot. I grew up in a home with a father that was a truck driver, and my father would often leave on an early Monday morning, and we would not see him till Friday evening. And as I've grown and matured in my walk with God, I began to see the importance of Dad being there for a meal. And I'm not saying that there's never a time that you will skip a meal. But that is important that you're there for your family, because you are telling them whether they're important or not. And that goes for us as preachers too. We can look at a truck driver that is never home. But I want you to know that there are families that have been suffering too because their daddy, even though he's a preacher, is not home either. I think it's important that we look at our family as a responsibility that God has placed even for us as church leaders. I see some of you brethren with your young children. Take time out for them. Yes, church work is important, but never neglect your responsibility of those precious souls that are around your tables. Be there. Another thing, be on time. When you tell your wife, we have a set time, pretty well set time in our home, what time supper is. And I try everything that I can to be there on time. And if I'm not able to make it on time, my wife knows not just 10 minutes before that she's expecting me, but I let her know in advance that I'm running a little late. Or something came up that I need to take care of. Be there on time. Because there's nothing more frustrating in some ways to a wife when she has prepared a meal and she has to keep it warm time and time again because you just don't show up on time. What do you talk about when you're there around your family? What is your topic of conversation? Does it always center about what you did that day? Does it always center about what you accomplished? Is everything about what you're trying to do? Or are you interested in what happened in your wife's day or in the day of your children? A table is also a place where family gets together to sing. It's also, there are those that have their family worship around the kitchen table. I grew up in a home where our family worship was around the table. Singing, praying together around the table. That doesn't mean you can't have your personal or your family devotions in the living room. But some have their times of singing and praying together around the table. It should be a time of blessing. It's not a time for you to be able to, maybe you have a teenage daughter or teenage son, or maybe even a 10-year-old or 12-year-old that is trying to find their way, and it is not the time in the presence of the rest of the family to try to give your son or daughter direction around the kitchen table, because if that happens, they fear the kitchen table. They know that this is the only time Dad is home, and maybe we're so busy, Dad thinks, well, this is the only time I have to even be able to talk to him. If that's the only friendship that you have with your children, you're missing out in a relationship that God is wanting for you as a father to have. It's to be a time of blessing around the table. Bless whatever took place that day. Maybe your little child, and I had to learn this. One of my daughters one time, she went out of her way to wash the minivan. And the first thing I saw on that minivan was one big skipper. And the first thing that was about ready to come out my mouth is, oh, you missed right here. But I began to, I realized that she did the best that she knew how. And she did everything she could. Her heart was set to please Dad. And what would have happened if I would have came to that supper or whatever and said, saw somebody wash the minivan and you made a skipper. That would have crushed the spirit of that little heart. You set the tone when you are at your kitchen table. What you talk about is a time for blessing. Maybe you saw the garden got weeded. And you say, hey, You weeded the garden today. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I wasn't here to help you, but thank you. It's a time of blessing. It's a time of developing close ties. Mothers. I'm running against the clock here a little bit. Mothers, we want to talk a little bit about you. You also teach a lot around the kitchen table. One young man I have taught already at Maranatha Bible School in Minnesota. And I remember one young man that came to me, and he was struggling, and as he was finding his way, and as he was sharing his heart with me, I began to ask him about his home. And he said, I dreaded mealtime. I said, why did you dread mealtime? He said, my mom was always negative about everything. She would use that as a time of talking to the father or to dad and to correct him. He didn't do this right. He didn't get this done. It was a time that she would complain about other things that didn't happen. Maybe there was things that she wanted to have him to accomplish and he didn't get it done. And he said it was just very negative. Mom was never positive. He said, I dreaded. She could have made the best food around. And he said, I still hated coming home for supper because Mom was always negative. She was never positive about what was taking place in her family and her life. Mothers, you set the tone too for the kitchen table. May there be words of blessing coming out as you sit down with your family. Maybe one of the children didn't do something quite right, and maybe they didn't have the spoons and forks and things where they belong. And maybe they set the mashed potatoes at the wrong end of the table and it was supposed to be where the meat was. That's fine. If they did that, they did the best they knew how. There's something like teaching saying, you know, in the future I'd like you to have the mashed potatoes here or wherever. But it's not the time to make supper or the evening meal a time of correction, but a time of blessing. Bless your husband. Bless your children. Children, I want to talk to you. When you sit around the table to eat, and mom has made a very good meal, thank her for it. Say, Mom, that was really good chicken croquettes. Or that was really good whatever. Bless your mother for all she does. Your mother works hard. She cleans. She washes. Especially you little children, that maybe all of you and your families are young and there's no teenagers in your home. Take time out to bless your mother. I'd also like to talk about the table being the safe place of the home. And again, I'm going to just speak a little bit to you fathers. As you sit around that table, there should be nothing that happened that day that you would not feel free to share with your family. You should be able to, maybe you said something to somebody that was unkind. If you can't share that around the kitchen table, you should have never done that in the first place. Maybe you stopped somewhere in your travels that God could not bless because your eyes wandered. If you can't share that at the kitchen table, you should have never been there. The kitchen table is a safe place. You should be able to bring everything, even your business dealings, everything that you did that day, you should be able to bring and not be ashamed of anything that you did that day that your family would know about. Young people, if you can't bring certain books to the kitchen table, you should not be reading them. If you know that mom and dad would be heartbroken with the books that you're reading, and you can't bring them to the kitchen table, you shouldn't have them. Burn them. Get rid of them. Music is another thing. Singing. Contemporary music and the music world is bombarding so many people. Wrong music. Wrong lyrics. Wrong words. If you're listening to something that you would not feel comfortable listening around your kitchen table, get rid of it. Get rid of it. If you have talked to someone about your parents or your mom or dad or about the church, and you would not feel free to bring that to the kitchen table, you should have never talked about it. Texting, cell phones. Maybe you text someone that you shouldn't have texted. If you can't text it in the front of your parents, and we're getting into the electronic age. Do you have electronic age up here? I think we all are faced with electronics, right? This electronic world is getting many of people falling away from God because of the easy access to many different things. There's even brotherhood or brother maybe struggling with another brother. They would much sooner text or send an email than to meet with that brother and practice Matthew 18. We are depending too much on the electronic world, and I don't know what your position is on the internet. The internet can be a useful tool, but it's a very dangerous tool. And I know that some churches have standards or position totally against it. I know there's some others that say, well, if you have a business, you can have it in your business, but not on your kitchen table. I would like to just share with you, if we can't have it on our kitchen table, and people be able to see what we're watching or looking at, then we shouldn't have it in the dairy barn either. The kitchen table is a safe place. The kitchen table is a place. And I realized that someone said to me, so in other words, you would allow the internet on your kitchen table. I said, if I allow the internet, I would rather have it on my kitchen table than in some office somewhere out back. Or in one of my daughters or son, I don't have a son, but in any of my children's rooms. Same way with texting. People say, well, I'm just texting, but you know the cell phone things, it's very easy to get on the internet. If you have a problem with the internet, it's taking many of a man, many of a woman down spiritually. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. And yet, where I work, I'm on the internet all day. I'm a bookkeeper. That's how we pay our bills. I'm on the internet, but my boss has a block on it, and it's only used for business in his business area. But if we cannot, the safe place, and I hope I'm impressing. I went over a lot of this very quickly, but I'm impressing on your mind that the kitchen table is a place of security. The kitchen table is a place where you get to know each other. Yes, we can go to the mountains. We can go here or we can go there and spend time with our families. Yes, that's nice. That's good. But the kitchen table is a daily practice that I'm afraid too many of us are losing. Because we have this meeting to go to, we have this church service, that church service, or this program to go see. And the list goes on and on, that we come home from work, we get ready, or we eat a quick supper, we get ready, and we hop in our vehicles and go off. Some of these modern conveniences have not been helping us with our family relationships. It's called a smorgasbord. We come in, we get what we want, and off we go. The table is the safest place of home. So as you go home and eat lunch today, and as you eat supper today, and you sit down with your family, or you sit down with the visitors you have in your home, or however you sit, maybe you have more visitors than what can sit around the table, treasure the time of your meal. Not because of just the food. Yes, food is, or we enjoy good eating. But may it be something much deeper than just the food. And may you remember, fathers, every time you pull your chair up to eat, are all the children in? Are all the children here? And if not, and to you sisters that maybe you are used to eating meals without your husband, may God give you grace and may your husband begin to see his need to be around the kitchen table. I know I didn't have a lot of scripture to say about the kitchen table, but I just hope that you won't forget the importance of that table that you sit around every day. Let's kneel together in prayer.